Talking to you today about the God of the more favor, specifically the purpose and the path of favor. When we leave here today, you're going to know how to tap into more of the favor of God than you've ever tapped into before. I will say this, the favor of God is real. Getting a little bit of a reverberation here. Yeah. Thank you, Father. In Luke 2, verse 14, the heart of God is laid bare about the favor real quickly. It says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Look at somebody and smile and say, I'm one of them. The favor of God rests on you. In Psalm 85:1, you, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You see, you can't separate favor from the practical blessing of God. You can't separate favor, you know, from God materially as well as spiritually ministering to you and to those around you. In Psalm 30, verse 5, for His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Yeah. Aren't you glad He's not mad at you anymore? You know, it's so easy for us to believe that God's mad at us because we fail. Well, how about God not being mad at you? Can you believe that God is for you? Amen. That He favors you? What if you believe that God favors you with the same intensity you used to believe that He was mad at you? Wouldn't that be something, church? In Psalm 102, speaking of set times, verse 13, you will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show favor to her. The appointed time has come. And I believe that's for you today as well. Say, my appointed time has come. It's your time for favor. Glory to God. In Psalm 5:12, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. There's something tangible about you, church. It's the favor of God. Psalm 90, verse 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And Jesus ministering from Isaiah 61 and Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, we find out that we're not in the year of God's vengeance. We're in the season of His favor. Amen. And all that that implies. Say it. God has favor in mind for me. Now, the Bible is filled with this. This is not some offshoot, some little hidden thing, some read between the lines thing. The favor of God is central to the message of God. You see it in Jesus' message. The interesting thing about Luke chapter 4, 18 and following, this is a message that Jesus, as an itinerant preacher, preached from place to place to place to place. On this particular occasion, he didn't get to finish it because they got offended at him. But the reality is this was a message he carried everywhere he went, that he was anointed of God, and this is what the anointing does, and the anointing causes favor to break out in your life. Amen. In Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. And it literally means that He stoops down to lift you and me up. Aren't you glad for that? It means He's predisposed to show you His favor. He's not predisposed to knock you in the head. He's not predisposed to hold you back or somehow keep you down. He's predisposed to show you favor. God doesn't sleep, but when you got up today, His first thought for you was not, I can't stand that person. But I want to favor them. And it's interesting that people that actually receive these scriptures and the word on favor, when they actively believe it, they see more favor starting to manifest in their life. In other words, I'm not responsible for you believing this. I'm responsible for preaching it. Are you here today? We've learned that Bible favor is God's grace or His unmerited favor. Favor is one dimension of the all-encompassing manifestation of God's grace. It's about God's acceptance, His approval, His goodwill. He wills nothing but good for you. That's right. Amen. Come on, say that. My God wills nothing but good for me. People are still twisted in their thinking about the nature of God, trying to somehow say that God will beat you up just to prove He can put you back together again, run you over just so He can unflatten you. No, things happen to people. You're in a fallen world. You don't live in a bubble, but understand who is favoring you and who's trying to take you out. God, amen, in His favor, He's for you, not against you. It also speaks of God's good pleasure for you and for me. What does favor do by way of review? Favor opened doors for you that no man can shut. Somebody says, you're not qualified, you can't do this, this isn't right for you. Doesn't matter. Favor will shove you right through the door. Can I have an amen? Favor creates opportunities and platforms to demonstrate God's goodness and power in your life. Favor overcomes limitations, those lids, those ceilings, those barriers that you're trying to break. It'll remove obstacles in your life. Favor will make you distinguished in this life. Favor will introduce the hand of God in your situation. Can I tell you something? When the hand of God shows up in your situation, something's going to happen. Amen. Amen. Do a Bible study sometime on the hand of God and see what it does. That's what the favor of God is all about. Favor will promote you. Is it okay if you have promotion this year? Can He promote you into His will? Promote you into what He has for you as a child of God? Favor makes you unstoppable. The only way you can stop is if you quit. So I want you to shout this out again. I cannot be defeated.
I cannot be defeated.
And I will not quit.
And I will not be quit.
With a raised hand, anybody here ever been tempted to quit? Had enough? Fed up? Put out? Disgusted? Well, you're going to hang in there. I have found out that the most challenging times when it seemed like nothing was going to work out, His favor came through. Look at somebody and say, it's not time to quit. It's time to double down. God is not a man that He should lie. He said, His favor rests on me. So it rests on you. You are unstoppable unless you quit. That's why the devil works so hard to get you to quit. Because you hang on to the word of God long enough, it's going to work for you. 30, 60, 100-fold. You hang on to the truth, it'll produce for you. Why? Because the power is actually in the seed. If it finds good soil, believing soil, cultivated soil, holy soil, you're going to see God's manifestation and God's fruit. Favor gives you an advantage. If necessary, preferential treatment. If necessary, the revision, you know, and the reallocation of laws and principles that worked against you, God is well able to reverse those to your benefit. Amen. Never forget that principle. When somebody says, no, you can't do that, or somehow that's against our policy, don't ever let policy stop you. Your God is bigger than policy. Favor can reverse that policy in your favor. And most importantly today, and this is where I want to kind of springboard from, when you are favored of God, you draw attention to the God that you serve. Favor is observable. It's something that happens to you that people can see. And so the purpose of favor is to make your God attractive to others. It's not just, you know, the saints of old or a few certain preachers or a few certain, you know, people on this earth. God wants to favor all of His children. So the world looks at that and goes, so that's what it's like to walk with your God. We see it historically in Solomon. When's the last time somebody brought you a bunch of gold and silver? And you were already a multi-billionaire before that. You see it in the life of David, phenomenal favor. You see it in the life of Daniel. You see it in the life of Joseph. And guess what? We're going to see more and more of it in your life in Jesus' name. Say it with me, the favor of God rests on me. The purpose of this favor is to make God attractive to those who don't know Him. To bring attention to the God that we serve. Is anybody willing to bring attention to the God that you serve? And it's not just in you know, physical things. It's in your decorum. It's in how you carry yourself. It's your spirit about you. We're just different. I said we're different. There's a peace about us. Amen. In the end, it doesn't make any difference what man does because we don't serve man. Man is not our God. Our government is not our God. Thank God. And Timothy said, first fruits, and first fruits are first. I thought he was going to break into a Kamala Harris word salad. First is first. Okay. Sorry. Today is today. Yesterday was today yesterday. And tomorrow will be today tomorrow. This is not my message today. But maybe it'll be my message tomorrow. All I will tell you is pray and use your God-given brain. It's September. Your country and your state will be voting on some very important things. For example, in Kentucky, like the right of a parent to send a child where they want that child to go to school, not dictated by bureaucrats in Frankfurt. And a nation that is at the precipice of either allowing God to have its way or making a bend towards godlessness like we've never seen before. It's all very, very real. And everybody in this building and everybody watching me online, including the ones that just turned me off, you need to make sure that you understand just how critical these things can be. And you need to strip yourself of titles like Republican, Independent, and Democrat and put on the title of God-fearing, child of God, and Christian. Amen. And do what's necessary to advance the gospel in these last days.
Amen.
It is a serious situation. I'm sorry. This is not about male and female. It's not about Indian, African American, white, Hispanic. It's about just being dumb. And dumb comes in all genders, both of them. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
There aren't 900 genders. I'm really strange from this message today. The Lord help me and give me favor. It has nothing to do. Dumb comes in both genders. Amen. Amen. There are a lot of white folk, black folk, Hispanic folk, dumb. And all I can tell you is we can't afford dumb. In any shade, any color, any creed, in either gender. And I'm going to tell you this, that God will help you.
Yes, He will.
Don't even bother getting offended at me. Just skip it. Resist the temptation. Because there are people that still believe that preachers and churches should just shut up. And what you did was you bought a lie from the pit of hell.
Yes.
So today and tomorrow and yesterday, which was today yesterday, we're favored of God. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, say, the favor of God rests on me. Move on, Art, move on. Just move on. Say this, the purpose of God in His favor is to draw attention to the God we serve. And He does it through things like us walking around in joy and peace, regardless of the politics, regardless of what's going on in the world. That world doesn't dictate to us when we can have peace and joy. It comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost today, then you can have peace and joy and victory in your heart, and you're just different. When the whole world's freaking out, and there you are with peace, it makes God attractive. When everyone doesn't know what to do, but you know what to do, it makes the God that you serve attractive. When everybody's facing some kind of situation and there is no remedy and you're at perfect peace, trusting God to come through, you are attractive. Amen. You make your God attractive to those people. And certainly when the blessing's on you, like Abraham, people see it. And it makes your God attractive because God's the one that did it. Abraham said to that king, I'm not taking anything from you so you can say that you made Abraham rich. My God did that, and I'll make my God attractive in this world. And he's done a pretty good job. Amen. The population and the people of Israel, what God is doing. Why do people hate the Jews? Because the blessing of God is on them. That's why they hate the Jews. And no matter if hate can stop the blessing of God come from manifesting. Amen. And you're about to see great breakthroughs in every dimension of that culture. Amen. You put yourself in alignment with God's word. Bible says, I'll bless those that bless thee and I'll curse those that curse thee. I don't know about you. I can't afford the curse. There's the blessing. Amen. Glory to God. So the real key today is how do I get on that pathway to favor? Everybody say favor three times. So you can say favor. There are things that you can do to line yourself up in such a way that more of His favor manifests in your life. And it's no surprise to you, but number one, it starts with receiving it as a gift. Ephesians 2:8 tells us God saved us by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It is a gift of God. The favor of God all begins with the new birth. How many of y'all have experienced the new birth? Amen. I said, how many of y'all experienced the new birth? I said, how many of you have experienced the new birth? Yeah. Then the favor of God rests on you. You know, I love the song, The Fourth Man, just came out a couple years ago. And the reason is, no matter what's going on in your life, you can trust He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Whatever is happening, your God is there to help, amen, to counsel, to comfort, whatever is necessary, He is there. And by virtue of being born again, you have the favor of God. In other words, nothing embodies the favor of God like Jesus Himself. If you have Jesus, you have been most favored. We ought to live like that. We ought to be filled with joy, amen, and filled with peace. Let's put away the poor mouth and the negative thinking and the negative talking like we lost our best friend every day. Let's walk around in the joy of the Lord because you have the lion's share of favor because you have Jesus in your life. Say, I'm favored because I've had the new birth. Amen. It also doesn't surprise us to find out that we receive it by faith. Romans 5:2, through Him also we have our access, entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, the state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Literally, we access this favor by faith. Say that with me, I access the favor of God by faith. You got to get a hold of this, read the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, memorize the scriptures, talk the scriptures, believe that God's favor is available. And you access it by believing God. That's why we'll often say God doesn't have favorites. He does not show favoritism, but He does favor faith. In other words, to have favorites, He would say, well, one can tap into my favor and that one can, but that one can't tap into my favor. That's not what He does. But if you do have faith, you can tap into every dimension of His favor in your life. Of all the Jews and the scribes and the teachers and the Pharisees and even Jesus' own disciples, it was a Roman centurion that tapped into that by faith. And he said, look, you don't have to come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus, the Bible says, marveled at that. He said, I've not seen any faith like this in all of Israel. Is Jesus a liar or a truth teller? The kind of faith that taps the favor of God showed up in that man's life. And at that moment, that servant was healed. Just to remind you, He doesn't care what your pedigree is. He doesn't care what your background is. He doesn't care if you're born on the right side of the tracks, the wrong side of the tracks, or underneath the tracks. It is faith that causes that favor to rest on you and manifest in new and fresh ways. There is no one that can stop you from believing God. And faith, it's not a mystery. It comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more you hear a favor, you're going to believe God for it. Amen. Now, how many of you believe you've heard more sermons to build your faith than that centurion had? He was operating on low input. You and I have great inputs. How about we go ahead and raise our level of favor up consistent with the amount we've received and the inputs we've received?
Amen.
Glory to God. Say it, I can believe for the favor of God. I love what Jerry Sabell says. He says that nothing happens by accident in your life when you're walking in the favor of God. It's not a coincidence. There's no such thing as a coincidence for the child of God. It's the favor of God. The favor that you ran into that person. The favor that that door was opened up. That favor that money came in just in time. That favor that God brought somebody into your life to give you wisdom and counsel and to help you and to hold your hand and help you get started and help you proceed and help you become successful. It's the favor of God. It's not a coincidence. Amen. Glory to God. I will remind you of this, though, when you are believing God for a favor, just like when it comes when you're believing God for finances, a lot of you have had mailbox faith. Money can only come in a mailbox. Remember those days? And so you've got your focus on not God as a source, but one way that He can do it. The same thing with favor. I have found out that favor may not come when it should come, and it may not come where it should have come from, but it will come eventually. And some of you get hung up thinking that favor should come this way. These are the people that should do it. This is the way it should be. This is the way it should be, you know, an honorable approach to this, but it doesn't happen that way and you get discouraged. Let God pick the way the favor flows into your life. Let God pick the way His source comes into your life. Can I have an amen? Yes. Glory to God. You receive it, third, by humility as a gift, the new birth, by faith, and then humility in your life. Proverbs 3:34, He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Hallelujah. And what is true Bible humility? It's not beating yourself up. It's not running around with your head all hanging down all the time. It's lining up with the Word of God. Listen to me. Bible humility means lining up with the Word of God in every area of your life. Somebody says, well, I just don't believe in that favor stuff. You don't believe in lining up with the Word of God. You reject favor. That's not humility. That's pride. True humility is to submit to the Word of God and all of its manifestation and revelation. Number four, are you counting today? Smile at somebody and say, take notes for me so I can listen better. Amen. You receive it by love and faithfulness, Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. You receive it by love and faithfulness. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Do you believe that today? Amen. Continue to walk in love. Be faithful. Faithful in your family. Faithful in your job. Faithful in your ministry. Faithful with your kids. Faithful in every area of your life, and let love mark you in your character. Stay out of strife. Walk in compassion. And see if the favor of God does not manifest in your life in a greater way. Number five, receive it by wisdom. Proverbs 8:35. For those who find me, wisdom finds life and receives favor from the Lord. I want to announce to you today that wisdom and favor travel together. Say that with me. Wisdom and favor travel together. Stupidity and favor does not. And where do we tap into the wisdom of God at? Anytime we want to. And when we can't find the answer, the Bible tells us in James, ask God and He'll give it to you without upbraiding, without rebuking. He'll give it to you liberally. That's one time you want to be a liberal when it comes to getting the wisdom of God. Number six, receive it by giving. Receive it by giving. 2 Corinthians 9:8 from the Amplified Classic. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Notice that God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in what? In abundance. This is in direct response to God's challenge through Paul to the people of God to be sowers and givers. Say it, I'm a sower and I'm a giver. Now, is there anybody here that could use some favor in the practical financial realm of your life? Raise your hand if you could use some favor. Hear the word of the Lord about that. Yes, be a tither and lifestyle, be a giver. But when you really need to see the favor of God show up, sow a seed in the direction of the favor that you actually need. Why would I do that? I need somebody to help me. You need to get a hold of the supernatural power of a seed sown in faith and at God's direction to change the situation in your life. Right. It's amazing how much favor shows up in the lives of those who are really full-time aiming sowers and not part-time planners. Amen. The how and the where and the what of the sowing is entirely between you and the Holy Ghost. But I will tell you more times than I can count, when I needed to see favor show up, I sowed a seed. It shouldn't be quiet right now. For some of y'all, it's a revelation. There's power on doing things in His name and at His direction. Amen. You want more favor? Receive it by giving. And not just finance. We're talking about your time and your talent. Some of y'all desperately need somebody to come across your path in a mentoring way, maybe in a business scenario or something like that. You need what they possess. What you need to do is sow time and availability to somebody else that you can help. Amen. Say it. Time, treasure, talents are all sowable. Glory to God. Number 7, not a surprise here, receive it by praying. Hebrews 4:16 from the Amplified Classic. And let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find that favor or grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. You want more favor? Here's a revelation. Ask for it. You mean I can just ask God for favor? Pastor, isn't that a little selfish? Jabez didn't feel that way. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. In the middle of what seems like a bunch of boring statements or chronology of the family of God comes this man, Jabez, who didn't want to live up to his name, bringer of sorrow, and he cried out to God without shame, without reservation, that God would bless him. Some of y'all need to leave your religion behind and start lifting your hand to heaven and say, oh, that you would favor me. Oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Oh, that you would keep me from bringing pain and not apologize for it. It's not the word that taught you to be humble. I'd never ask God for that. That's religion that did that to you. And that may be the very reason you're being held back. It's always appropriate to ask God for blessing and favor. No matter what you hear on that podcast or that song going back 40, 50 years, no matter what people tell you, if Jabez could do it, you could do it. Right. Oh, by the way, your covenant is a million times better than Jabez ever had. Right. We have not because we ask not. Well, let's not get in that category. Let's start asking Him for favor. Will you give in the morning? Thank you that favor comes across my path today. Get in the habit of asking for and believing that you're going to receive it. Say, I receive the favor of God when I pray. Number 8, receive it by the word. After introducing in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the word, He says this in verse 16, "For out of his fullness abundance we have all received and had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift." Imagine that, favor heaped upon favor, and gifts heaped upon gifts. That's what happens when you fellowship with, and you're in tune with, and you're connected to the Word of God. You mean to tell me if I will get into the Word, read the Word, get revelation, quote the Word, memorize the Word, act on the Word, speak the Word, that I'll see more favor in my life? You'll find out that Bible people are some of the most favored people on the planet. Amen. Say, I'm one of them. Amen. Say, I'm a Bible person. I am one of the most favored people on the planet. You see, it's not that God has got favorites. It's that some of his people, which they all are his favorites, some of them actually dare to ask, and some of them dare to act on what the Word says here and get more of that. Yeah. More favor comes from more word seed in your life. Glory to God. Anybody can do this. Say, anybody can seek God. Anybody can get into the Word of God. And more favor will flow. Say it with me, favor upon favor. Doesn't that sound good today? Not just a little sprinkle, but favor upon favor upon favor, gift upon gift upon gift. Why? Because you found out in the Word what actually belongs to you. That's part of it. A lot of people don't know what belongs to them. They live a life that's religious for years and told them what they can't be, what they can't do, what they can't have. That Bible will come alive to you. You'll find out what you can have, what you can be, what you can do. And part of what you are is favored of God. Look, God is not put out by the bigness of your asking. He is put out by the smallness of our faith. We can't even imagine how much he wants to do in our lives. But we let contradictory thinking come in and it shuts us down. And the cure for contradictory thinking to the Word of God is to cast down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and let the Word of God speak for itself. Amen. He said, He is your shepherd and you shall not want. Now that settles it. Yes. Said, He is my shepherd. Did you know that Psalm 23 is not necessarily just for funerals? In fact, the only verse that applies to the dead is the last verse. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Everything else is for those of you who are earthbound. He prepares a table before me in the presence of what? My enemies. We don't have enemies in heaven. What does that mean? God's going to spread a table and you're going to make your God attractive. Hallelujah. How big and blessed that table is. Hallelujah. Other people can feed on it and your God will be glorified. All because I'm in the Word of God? Yes. Number 9, am I still on track? Those of you sitting by the counter. Pastor Art doesn't have the gift of numbers. Receive it by confession. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that's how we got saved. Believe it in your heart, saying with your mouth. That's the mechanism for everything that we would want or need in this life. Believe what the Word says in your heart and say it with your mouth. Confess daily you have the favor of God. And when you recognize the favor, declare that that was the favor of God. Say it boldly. Say it, I have the favor of God in my life. And when something happens that you know God did something, stop right then and there and declare that's the favor of God. You get a raise right in front of your coworkers. That's the favor of God. When a breakthrough happens in your family and a loved one comes back to Jesus, that's the favor of God. Somebody gets healed, you stop and say, that's the favor of God. When you get a parking lot, you get a parking place at Walmart, that's the favor of God. When you get somebody to check you out at Walmart, that's the favor of God. There's a human being over there. Quick. Say it, shout out, that's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. I have found and observed it in my own life. The more I talk about, the more I believe, the more I recognize and identify and praise God for that favor, the more it keeps showing up in my life. You should spend the rest of the day thinking about all the ways He has favored you and point them out. They used to sing a song called Count Your What?
Blessings.
Don't ever stop doing that. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Whatever, big or small, that's the favor of God. When you do that, you're praising God. And praise is a dimension of confession. Say it. Praise is a dimension of confession. When I praise, I'm confessing Him. When I praise, I'm confessing His word. When I praise, I am confessing His goodness over my life. I don't know about you, but it's going to take longer than one day to what? To say all the good things that He's done in my life are the favor of God. Well, let's practice. That's the favor of God. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're the favor of God in my life. Shout it out. That's the favor of God. And I sense this in the spirit of some people here today. You didn't grab it because you heard pastor say something. You got a hold of this because the Holy Ghost is visiting right now, and you're never going to be the same in Jesus' name. You're about to enter the most favored period of your life. And people are going to come up to you and say, what's on you? And you can tell them. I'm born again. The favor of God rests on my life. You're going to make God attractive to the sinner. Yes. Can you receive that today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Pastor, you excited about favor? Yeah. It's taken me 3 weeks to get back to this part two. Number 10. You thought I lost track, didn't you? Receive it by association. Study after study shows that it's the people you hang around with the most that determine how successful you will be. You definitely don't want to hang around people that are anti-faith. Amen.
Amen.
Don't believe the word of God.
Amen.
Don't believe the promises of God. You want to make sure that your inner circle are people that believe God. Even within a church like ours, amen, it's possible somebody stumbled in here and thinks I'm the craziest person they ever heard. That's all right. I can't tell you how much I don't care. What I do care is that those that are hungry have the tools and the revelation to walk in the favor of God like never before. That's the assignment. And I'm telling you that it's important for you. He who walks with the wise, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, walks with the wise will be what? Will be wise. And it's very wise to walk around with people who are in the Word of God, know their God, and believe their God. I've said this, and it's not some confession. I continue to confess it because I believe in the power of confession in your words, but I'm saying this because it's true. You're the hungriest bunch we've ever had in this church.
Amen.
Now, you can go ahead. Listen, Brother Osteen would say, if you're going to clap, clap. Don't patty cake. Just clap. Just give the Lord a hand clap. Amen? Why? Why does that matter? Some of you were here when I first came here. Hey, it was spoon feeding sometimes.
Open up your mouth. I am righteous. Is he going to preach on prosperity again?
I'm in a full gospel church preaching on healing. And somebody got mad at me that day because I dared preach on healing.
Wow.
Take it up with the word of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and how He went around, what? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen.
Amen.
I haven't heard anybody gag and throw up in this church in months. Look at somebody say, it's not going to be me. It's not going to be me. I can remember this when I came to this church and taught on the priesthood of all believers. What does that mean? Everybody has a job to do. When I came here, there were 8 or 9 families doing everything. Well, some of them liked it because they were involved. Others were burnt to a crisp, waiting for deliverance. Come deliver me. And it was tough just to get that simple revelation across that everybody is a minister. Everybody's called to minister. Everybody's called to reach out and win souls, not just a few people. There's no such thing as a gift of evangelism. No. There's an evangelist that equips us for the purpose, but all are called to be witnesses. It's a wonderful thing as a pastor to be able to preach in liberty after y'all worship God like you did today. Amen. And as you keep this hunger, you are going to see great favor break out into your life. Amen. Brother Hagin always said it, and I believe it. It's the word you're excited about that's working for you. Yes. Come on, say it. It's the word I'm excited about that's working for me. And boldly say it. It's working for me. You have a couple more minutes for me today? Yeah. If I left this out, I probably shouldn't go home today. But you receive favor by marriage.
Yes.
Amen.
There's a couple of you that are confident. Maybe a little bit arrogant. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds what is good and obtains favor from the Lord. That's the verse that's quoted to me by Kelly more than any other verse in the Bible. I know that verse. And if you stop and think about it, of course, we're talking about it in terms of godliness. When you have somebody that's godly that you're married to, the favor breaks out in your life in ways you can't even comprehend. Amen. With comfort and encouragement. You know, life in any realm can be difficult at times. And to have somebody who truly has your back, truly for you, prays with you and for you, believes the same way, the favor of God is going to manifest in that situation. And he specifically points out here, he who finds a wife, but I think the opposite is true too. He who finds a godly husband is favored in all kinds of ways. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when a man comes home to be with his wife and his kids. Amen. Who holds down a job, who keeps a job. Amen. Who serves God, who walks with God, who prays and reads the word of God, who can't be bent by this culture. It's a blessing to have that. And then all the tangibles and intangibles associated with that, that's the goodness of God. That's the favor of God operating in your life. Amen. So, you know, Judah, that's the favor of God in your life.
It is.
Amen. You know what I'm going to say. There's a reason why they call him the better half. She is the favor of God in your life. And what you need to be looking for if you're single, not, oh, gee, I guess I'm left out. No, believe God if that's the desire of your heart. But don't compromise, because you will diminish the favor level by virtue of who you covenant with. There's a powerful thing called the prayer of agreement, and it works with Christian couples like nothing I've ever seen. When you're in a tight spot and you agree in prayer, you can take it to the bank. Your God is going to come through in that situation.
That's right. Amen.
There's so many ways. Now, they need to be godly. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Finds the good and obtains favor from the Lord. I'm giving you a lot of ways today, but just think about this for a moment. You know, when I first came to college, I didn't know much of nothing. It was her uncle Doug that introduced me to Kelly. And I was in college. She was still in high school. In fact, she was jailbait. But when I met her, And oddly enough, I've never, because the Lord has brought this back into my consciousness and showed me some things about this. When I met her, something in my spirit jumped. And there was a recognition there that there was something that is not normal, not natural. You hearing what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
Not just being impressed by how we function or how much money or how we look or whatever the case may be, but sensing something in the spirit.
Yes.
And that's what you need to do in this situation if you're single, not, you know, what makes your heart go pitter patter, what makes your spirit leap. It's true for relationships. It's also true for the will of God. What makes your spirit leap, not your flesh?
Amen.
Now, I don't mind telling you, you know, she had a fine looking butt back then. Yes, she did. Amen. Well, all you holy people, all you holy people here, that even though you're spiritual, have no physical attraction, bless your hearts, amen. I want your autograph. And she still does. Amen.
Amen.
Can I help you out here? I don't think it's a bad thing to actually know that your pastor loves his wife.
Amen.
But I'm telling you that it started, it's 37 years ago in August, this past August, amen. It started with a spiritual connection. That's where the favor train began. And we can't even count all the ways that God has favored us through the years and got into the habit of saying that's the favor of God. But if you're married to somebody that's godly, amen, praise God for it. Yeah. Don't expect them to be you. Don't expect them to be perfect. Don't expect them to have everything in common with you in terms of opinions. Bless them. Thank God for them because you have a rarity. You're married to a woman of God. You have a rarity in this world right now. You're married to a man of God. You have a rarity in this world. And you should thank God for that favor.
Yeah.
You should. And man, Pastor Art's little mini marriage seminar here. Treat them like they're the favor of God in your life. Not trash. Not disrespectfully. Not dishonorably. God gave you. God did that. Is that how you treat your gifts? Even in the body of Christ, not this church, because I'll help the police arrest you if you do it here. I'll come visit you in jail. But mistreating them, verbally abusing them, spiritually manipulating them, physically hurting them. No. We won't look the other way here and say, well, bless God, but God has joined together. No, if you commit a violent act or crime against that person, we're going to help the authorities hold you accountable for that.
Amen.
So don't do it. You're so focused sometimes on your own needs, your own wants, your own problems, your own situations. It's time to grow. It's time to die to yourself and start treating her like she is the favor of God in your life. And a man will say, well, I just get mad and I just can't help it. I cuss and I throw things and I use my fists. I slam things and whatever. Just can't help it. I like what Keith Moore says. Put that man in a room with a 350-pound linebacker, 6'6". It's amazing the self-control he just obtained. He said, you do what you can get away with. It's favor. I'm just gonna sow this at all of us here today that are married. All right? You're not married? Listen, you're blessed if you don't want to get married again. If you've been married before, you lost somebody to death, you're blessed. Paul made it very, very plain. There's a gift on one side, there's a gift on the other. Amen. You get to control the remote control forever. No fussing, no fights. Don't have to share nothing. In this message is an assignment and a message for every person that's married. So if you're married, raise your hand. Okay? If you're engaged, raise your hand. If you don't know why you're sitting next to the person you're sitting next to, raise your hand. Now, you take this as you want to, but I'm telling you there are times when I know that God is releasing a prophetic seed into this church. I know I've been in this long enough to know this. And I'm telling you, not speaking to you, but with you, all of us, our favor in our lives, God's favor in our lives, would go way up if we treated our spouses more like the favor of God. More favor would come in. Instead of treating them like they're nothing. How about if you start saying about them every single chance you get, that's the favor of God. She's the favor of God in my life. He's the favor of God in my life. When something nice is done, that's the favor of God. Thank you for that. When something sweet is done, that's, amen, praise the Lord. That's the favor of God. When they have your back and nobody else does, that's the favor of God. If we would start treating them as they are the favor of God, listen, you would see more manifestation of the favor of God in your life. Is anybody here could use more of His favor? So they gave you a big old long honking list. And I didn't get lost in the numbers, hallelujah. Here's a quiz. How many did I give you?
11.
How many?
11.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Just checking. Because you know I know. I can count to 11. I want you to bow your heads for a moment.